Okay, we're continuing Kuf Chaf Halachi Aleph. We're going to talk about tefillah for electrical appliances, whether you could use it without tefillah. And then at the end, or towards the end, the third part of what I'm going to talk about, we'll have to see how it connects to our din, and why I'm talking about it over here. Okay, so we've in the past mentioned a number of times that people don't like to title electrical appliances, or they refuse to title electrical appliances, and the reason is because they're concerned it's going to break the thing that they're using. And we talked about some ideas of getting around that and things like that. And we're going to talk today about whether, okay, forget about all those aces. Is it true? Can I use it? If I'm not going to title it, am I able to use the cleaver without titling it? So before we start, what I'm going to talk about is going to be in three parts. And the first part is to explain why it is that you're not supposed to submerge electrical appliances in the water. Okay, why is it that the manufacturer will tell you not to put your device into the water? And that's going to a little bit help us in understanding as we move along to understand when and where it does apply. Okay, so the first part is, if you have to excuse me, it's going to be not so shearish if you could handle it. Okay, not such like a shear. Okay, so like this. Okay, so the there are two reasons we can divide the reasons why you would be told not to put electrical appliances into the mikveh into two groups. Okay, one has to do with circuits and one has to do with corrosion. Okay, the one with circuits is as follows. When you have something, a wire, coils, anything functional that's electrical, it's built to work with a certain amount of electricity and amperage. Okay, for simplicity, we say electricity flowing through it. Okay, it's built to work in a certain way. If you put the wrong amount through it, then what's going to happen is the device could melt, it could catch on fire, it could just stop functioning completely. Okay, so having the wrong amount of what we're going to call electricity going through something is bad for the device. So in order to make sure that you don't get the wrong amount, it's built for a certain amount. To make sure it doesn't get a certain amount, one of the things that's used that you'll see in modern electronics is called a resistor. Okay, a resistor, they're easy to pick out once you see the pictures. It's easy to pick out in these kind of in a modern like control board because they always look the same. And they always have these colorful lines on them. Okay, now those colorful lines is not because somebody was just painting and had fun with them. It's because that describes, that's a code for how much it resists. A resistor means to say is, it resists the flow of electricity. That's what the picture on the top there is, how it works. It resists the flow of electricity so that as much electricity is coming in, only a certain amount goes out. Okay, it cuts down the amount of electricity to the right amount that won't ruin the device. So resistors, you'll see in a later picture, are all over the place in these electronic devices to keep only the right amount of electricity should hit the device that we're looking for. Okay, we don't want any amount, we want a specific amount of the resistor to control it. Right, it resists it, holds it back. Not for our discussion now.
It backs up.
It's not our
conducts electricity, other things don't conduct electricity. The resistor conducts partially whatever.
Right. It slows it, it only lets the right amount through. Okay? And the picture at the bottom corner, the squiggly line, that's if you look on a flow chart, like a description of what the device is, that's how they would write a resistor. That's the sign for a resistor. Okay, that's what you want it to be. Okay, so now, what happens if you have a resistor, or you have just a bunch of wiring, and the electricity is supposed to flow in a certain direction. Okay? And instead of flowing in the direction it's supposed to, a bridge opens up that lets electricity flow in a different direction. Okay? Instead of it flowing from here to here the way it's supposed to, it could flow a different direction. So if the bridge that's between them is either shorter, so electricity wants to flow in a shorter route, or it avoids a resistor. The resistor is slowing down, not electricity goes through the way it's supposed to. If there's a bridge that's more convenient, then electricity would flow that way, and that's called a short circuit. Okay, the electricity has gone not in the route it's supposed to go on. It's found a shorter route, or in this case, a faster route, to avoid the resistor. And that's called... That's called a short circuit.
It's saying short circuit, it blows up.
Now, when something short circuits, when it goes to a short circuit, then what could happen is you could melt the thing or burn it out because it's getting the wrong amount of electricity. If it went around the resistor, which it would like to go around the resistor, then instead of 5 electricity hitting it, only then 10 is going to hit it. So too much electricity is going to hit this device, and that will ruin the device. So the resistor is here to prevent that from happening. If it gets around it, if it short circuits, so we in commonly we would say the device short circuited, but really we mean is because of the short circuit, therefore too much electricity flowed through, and that ruined the device. Okay, now, one way that you could get a short circuit is by putting water into the device. Okay, which is to say is tap water conducts electricity. Pure water doesn't, but tap water conducts electricity. So if you put your device into water, what you've done is you've opened up now a bridge for the electricity to get around the resistor or stomp to get into the wrong places. Electricity is supposed to go from here to here, and it's supposed to go in a certain path in a certain way, and all of a sudden you've given new connections to let electricity flow in the wrong way, and that's going to cause a short circuit, which could then ruin the device. Okay, that will cause it to then have too much electricity in certain parts, and those devices will not, they'll catch on fire later, they'll melt, they'll just stop working.
Pure water doesn't conduct electricity?
Right. But water, tap water does.
What's considered pure water?
H2O. Just H2O. But our water has other things dissolved in it, has all kinds of minerals
dissolved in it. To swim when there's a lightning.
No. Rainwater is also not pure. But if you have pure, right, if you had distilled water, right, if you'd make a mikveh out of distilled water, then you'd be okay. For this part, we'll talk about so far. Now, the you can't get a short circuit if there's no electricity flowing through. Okay, you can only have a short circuit if the electricity flowing through and it goes the wrong direction. So what people have done is they say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my thing to the mikveh, and then I'm going to wait for a very long time. I'm talking about weeks. I'm going to wait for a very long time till it fully dries out. So even though in theory when I dunked it into the mikveh, I set up this bridge where the short circuit could happen. If the water dries all dries up, there won't be a short circuit. So then I've solved this problem. I don't have to worry about a short circuit because when it's in the mikveh, there's no electricity flowing through it. It's not plugged in then. And then by the time I ever plug it in, it'll have dried out by then, and I'll have saved myself, and then I can play with things. Okay? And lots of people have done it, myself included, have done that. And after waiting a long time, then they plug in the device, and it works perfectly fine. Now, one of the... There's a few weaknesses with that idea. We're trying that to dunk it in the mikveh and then wait a while. There's a few weaknesses to that idea. Okay? And the first is like this. The first is, it assumes that everything's going to dry out thoroughly. Okay? And in many things, that is very true. It'll just dry out thoroughly. Dunk it in the water, give it enough time, all the water gets out of all the cracks and crevices, and it evaporates and it dries up. Okay? But there are certain parts that just it doesn't work. It doesn't work as quickly. Like, for whatever reason, if you've ever gotten water into an LCD, like a display, or a display case, for whatever reason, the holes must be very small, and I don't know all the rules of evaporation, but for whatever reason, the water just sits there. Okay, you come back 6 months later, you'll still see water in there, which is to say, it's very hard to get the water to dry out. I don't know the physics of it, why that works like that, but there are parts, internal parts, that it just doesn't happen, just doesn't get dry. So there's something called like transformers and inductors. Okay, I'm not sure what those are, but they have lots of cracks and crevices, and the water just doesn't come out of them. So whereas you might get the water out of certain parts, and this plan of letting it dry up will work, it's not going to work for everything. Okay, if I knew which exactly does and doesn't, that would be helpful, but I don't. But for lots of things, it just doesn't work. Okay, and in which case you're setting yourself up to having the short circuit. Yes.
Aren't these not the ones that get ruined by water, like a chip or something?
I'm getting it. Okay.
So, I was waiting for it. I thought you would have gotten to it already.
No, I'm not finished. I'm only talking about now the circuit issues now. Okay, now, there's a second thing. So the first thing is, you may not get it dry. So you have this plan, you're going to let it get all the way dry. That's your plan. But in practice, it may actually not get dry. Okay, the second thing is like this. That this whole plan is built on the assumption that there's no electricity flowing through the wires, and therefore I don't have to worry about a short circuit in the mikveh because there's no electricity. Right? It's not plugged in. And so it's only later, so I'm going to wait to plug it in until there's no more bridge to carry the water, to make the short circuit. Okay. The problem is like this. In a modern electrical device, doesn't just have resistors, it also has something called capacitors. Okay, these are all different types of capacitors. Okay, they come in really lots of different shapes and sizes. Not just like resistors. Okay, they come in all different types of shapes and sizes. Okay, and a capacitor, the job of the capacitor is to regulate the flow of electricity. Okay, to make sure that it flows in a steady amount. And for our purposes, we could look at these as essentially being from a production, think of it like a surge tank, but from a different perspective, they're like little batteries. Okay, they take in electricity, They take electricity and they meter it out at the right pace, at a constant pace to the device. And even some even look like little batteries, okay? And so these are all pictures of different types. There are many different ways how they look. Like the top is how it would look on a diagram of how they build these things. So what happens is, if you have a capacitor, is essentially a little battery, for our purposes, a little battery sitting there that holds electricity, which means is that even if I don't plug in the device, even though I don't plug in my toaster, if it was ever plugged in beforehand, these things are charged up, and they're ready to give out their electricity. So even though I say, well, I'm not going to plug it in for weeks because I'm going to wait until electricity, I'm going to wait until there's no more way to short circuit, well, it may be too late. Because when you put it in, you think it's not plugged in. Tricks on you. Because really, there is as if a battery sitting inside of your thing that's soaked with electricity, so you think you're not going to make a short circuit when I plugged it in, and the joke's on you because, in fact, you will be. Okay, now, the truth is that when you buy a new device, you guess that it's never been plugged in. It's not necessarily true. It may have been plugged in, you know, but to test at the manufacturer. You're guessing, and you title things before you ever use them. So that gives us an advantage, if I can use that word, over what the manufacturer says. The manufacturer says, don't submerge it in water, because in his mind, it's pushing that you once plugged it in. And you're going to submerge it in water after you've done it once. So to him, if you submerge it in water, you're instantly going to fry your machine. Okay? But for us, to title things, we have a little advantage, because we title things before we ever use them. So if you never used it, and you never got electricity into your capacitors, then you have an advantage, okay? Now, that doesn't mean they didn't test it, but if you title it before anybody ever plugged it in, then you have this advantage that your capacitor, there's no electricity flowing through it, and then you potentially could say, I'll wait till it dries out, and I'll solve the problem, that I'll never have a short circuit. Okay, now, just to show you what it looks like, this is a control board, it's from downstairs, it's from an urn, okay? It's from one of the urns that we think,
wow,
okay? That's from an urn, okay? Now, in the control board, I'm going to show you on this, I'm going to circle for you the resistors and capacitors just to see what's going on, okay? The ones that are circled in red, those are all resistors, okay? And they're easy to pull out because you see them with the stripes on the side of them. They all have a certain shape to them. And all the stripes on the side of them tell you what they're exactly how they measure electricity, okay? And aside from that is, and here's a bunch of capacitors in the same thing. So here we have five, if I can use the word little, batteries in this thing. And I don't know, six or seven, I don't know how many resistors there were in this thing. Okay, the resistors to say is, every resistor is a place where if water got into there, it could short circuit. The resistor is either keep electricity, not too much flow through it. If the water went to that spot, the water would say, I'd much rather go around the resistor than through the resistor. And it would then cause the component that the resistor is protecting, it would cause it to have too much electricity flowing through it. Okay, so that just gives you an idea. And this is, I mean, an urn, to me, is not so complicated. I don't know if it's...
Like a punch to urn, or has like a little control board or something?
This is the control board.
I'm saying it has a control panel, has a key. It's just a simple urn,
nothing.
This is not all it needs is an element to run.
No, this is not the simplest urn in the world. It's not the simplest in the world, but when you open it up more, next time one of your things breaks, you'll see that this is not a... I mean, it looks pretty complicated, but it's just a control board, you know what I mean? It's got all these pieces that are in there, okay? So my point is that if there's a resistor, that means that's a place where electricity flowing in can short-circuit and ruin something. Then the resistor is protecting part of the device. And the capacitor tells you the other side is that there's electricity sitting there, even if it's not plugged in, there's electricity sitting waiting to come out. Okay, so now, this whole thing I said till now, is all reasons why how through circuitry you can have problems. Okay, the second is, a second problem that you have by putting something into water is, I lumped together called corrosion. And that is in three different ways. Okay, one is, electrical devices have in them relays, wires, and soldering that are made from copper and steel and other things that can rust or essentially do things like rust or corrode. Which means to say is, if that happens, then either there'll be what's called an open circuit. If it rusts, and all of a sudden the connection is gone, then the device is not going to work, because it'll have rusted away, it'll have corroded away. Or it'll make a short circuit. Okay, it'll make a short circuit by corroding and giving a wrong path for electricity to go. Second is, there are coatings that are put on the inside of devices. Like, the control board could be laminated, or there's a water soluble coating on a screen, or there's a lubricant inside of a motor. Okay, those are things that can get washed away with water. And the last is there are things that are made of paper or string that they don't get washed away or corroded, but when they dry, if they get wet and then they dry, they don't work the way they're supposed to. Okay, insulation or strings or things like that that become brittle or don't work the way they're supposed to once you get them wet. So all those types of things which I'm lumping together and calling corrosion, all those things mean that the device might work just fine the day that I stick it into the mikvah. Okay, because the corrosion takes time. Once it gets wet, it takes time before it rusts away, or it takes time before the insulation makes a difference and it's not working there. But with time, it'll stop working. Okay, now.
Can it go even after it dries?
Yeah, or it started off that way. Yeah. Or, no, but corrosion means if I started it off and it got wet, and for 5 days it was wet, I've now speeded up the process of it corroding, so now it's after 5 days, maybe it stopped because it got dry, but it's still on its way, you know what I mean? So it's not going to break today, because it's going to break in a month from now, instead of in 5 years from now. Okay, it'll rust away. There's such a thing. There are fancier devices that are sealed or coated to avoid these kind of problems. Okay, most things that we have are not like that. At least the people who I interact with. But there's such a thing. There is such a thing as getting ones that are protected, but most of them are not. Okay? Okay, now, after all that, now we're going to move on. So now we have an understanding of why the water would be bad for it. Now I'm going to move on to two reasons that have been given as to why you could use a device, even that type of one. Okay? And we'll see, hopefully, possibly, how what I told you until now might make a difference. Okay? The first is like this. The Yerushalmi says, it's brought in Beis Yosef, Yerushalmi says that the reason why we do Tfilas Kelim is it elevates something from the Tumah of Akum to the Kedusha of Yisrael. Okay? That's what Yerushalmi says. We're going to talk about more of Yerushalmi in a minute. So a number of Paiskim see in that the Dinim of Tfilas Kelim and the Dinim of Tumah V'Tayra are connected to each other. They work the same way. Okay? Whether that is exactly true or not, we're going to Mirtz Hashem talk about in Halacha Tezai. Okay? But for now, we're going to accept it that the dinim of Tumah V'Tayra and the dinim of Tfilas Kelim work together, which is to say, a thing that's not Makabel Tumah also doesn't need Tfilas Kelim. Okay? That's how they're seeing it. Okay? That the dinim are connected, you do Tfilas Kelim, the same kind of things that would need to be Tfilah for Tumah. Okay? But for that, we'll accept that for now, that's accurate. For today, we'll accept it as accurate. Okay? Now, so came along people and said they have a two-part reason to therefore say electrical devices don't need Tfilas Kelim. The first is anything that has to be used attached to the ground, it's two parts. The first, anything that has to be used attached to the ground, also l'shamish and makarka, is not makabel tumah. That's the first assumption. If something can only work when it's attached to the ground, it's also l'shamish and makarka, it's not makabel tumah. And the second step is that electrical devices only work if you plug them in. And since they only work when you plug them in, they are therefore only work when you attach to the ground, so they're also counted as asur l'shamish and makarka. Okay, so it's a two-step, for my purposes, it's a two-step process. One is, something only works when it's attached to the ground, it's asur l'shamish and makarka, and it's not makabel tumah. The second step is, and therefore we could say electrical devices are like that. They're the same kind of thing. Okay. For my purposes. One is that it's not makabel tumah. One is that would not be makabel tumah. And the second is, and electrical devices are an example of that thing, of things that are not makabel tumah. Okay, let me say my thing. Okay, so you don't have to believe it. You say it your way. So you should know, first of all, that a lot of places can completely discount it. Okay, now, but you're going to see what I'm about to show you from Rav Ozner, why he discounts it, but what I'm then going to explain to you what the reason is to not accept it, which may be what he had in mind. If you read what he says, and some of the things that I didn't put on the screen, you maybe think, you'll see maybe that's what he meant, but I'm going to explain to you, okay? This is what Rav Ozner says. He says, don't believe the people, who tell you that since things, electrical devices are attached to the ground, they're put them in a tefillah, okay? Now, before I tell you what is going to come next, Rav Ozner says electrical devices need tefillah, Dain Weiss says they need them, but none of them get the explanation. He's going to give a little, and I'll give you some more in a second. Okay? He says, forget it. I mean, it's ridiculous. No such thing. It can't be. It's not possible. And here's the Hevel Rus Ruach. Okay? Why? He says, it's Pashut, it's not considered a Mechorbet to be Potter from Tefillah. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain to you. Some of those three dots is what I'm going to explain to you.
Why does Officer Shakai put on a generator at 20?
So you should know. There are those who talk about that. Maybe you could use an attached generator. They didn't think that was like a real possibility. Okay? That's like a side point. They say, but it's like, no one does that. The Lamaise says no one uses it like that. It's not a plug-in device. I'm not a battery device. It's meant to be plugged in. It's just it's like that. That's not realistically, you know. Maybe you live in Braybrook and you have a generator. You know, you think it's but you know, okay. So that's like a side point. Okay. So now the thing is like this. The reason to disagree, let's go with the first point first, which is something that's also l'shamish makarka is not makabel tuma. So the Chachmas Avim has a long, we'll call it a tshuva, in the Nishmas Avim about this. Okay? And he says like this. He says he starts off by saying, you know, he's talking about big vats, and he wants to know if they're chayvin tefillas kelim. That's what he's talking about. We mentioned this Chachmas Avim before him. In this part, the main part of what he speaks about is, he says, well, maybe since these big vats have to be attached to the ground, it's also the shamash makarka. If it's also the shamash makarka, it's not makabel tuma, and therefore it shouldn't need tefillas kelim. So he says it's not true. He brings rayos from mikvaros. Okay. That says like this. Talks about that. Okay, he says like this. He says when we say that something is usher l'shamash makarka is not makabel tuma, there is such a rule that applies to things that are not have no functionality when they're not attached to the ground. They have zero functionality when they're not touching the ground. He says, but if you have something that has some use when it's not attached to the ground, even if it's not the real thing that you want to do with it, but it has some use for that thing when it's not attached to the ground, that's not considered usher l'shamash makarka. Okay, that thing is makabel tuma, even though the real use is attached to the ground, if it has any use when it's not attached to the ground, that's considered not also shamash makarka, and that thing is makabel tuma. Okay. So mamela. If that's true, according to the Chachos, then that some of the words in the Sheva Levi imply that's what he was talking about. Some of the words that I did not include there. If something has a use when it's not attached to the ground, let's say I have an urn. Okay, let's say I have an urn. So the urn only heats up the water if it's plugged into the wall. Okay, you want to say it's only meant works when it's attached to the ground. Well, that's true that it only works when it's attached to the ground, but it also has a use when it's not attached to the ground. It holds water when it's not attached to the ground. So that doesn't have this cool of not being usher shamash makarka. Now,
because anything is a paperweight.
No, paperweight doesn't count. Okay. Now, the second is let me finish. When you hear the second thing, I think you'll be more agreeable. I hope.
It's not for food.
The second is the person. Part B was, since some that's also shamash makarka is not makabel tuma, it doesn't need tefillah, so electrical devices are also like that. Okay, who's the one who said, who brought up that point? Maybe other people thought of it, but the one who's most famous known for that is Chalkas Yaakov. Okay, the Chalkas Yaakov in Tshuva Mem Aleph says that, and he says it's considered and not chayvin tefillas kelim. That's in Tshuva Mem Aleph. Okay, he says that the shaila in Tshuva Mem Aleph is about an immersion heater. Okay, what's an immersion heater? An immersion heater is a plug attached to a piece of metal, and you stick. Once you plug it in, the metal gets hot, and you dunk it into your water, and it heats up the water. Okay, what an immersion heater is completely worthless if you don't plug it into the ground. It doesn't do anything. It's just a piece of metal, just a bar, just a stick of metal, maybe a little curly part at the end of it. But it's just a piece of metal that has no functionality. So that's perfectly correct. It's within what the Chacham Sadin says that to be also shamash makarka means something that has no use when it's not attached to the ground. And you don't have to believe me that that's correct, because in Tshuva Mem Gimel, two tshuvas later, the Chalkas Yaakov is talking about a different electrical device. He's talking about an electric pot. Okay, an electric pot, of course a pot has use off the ground when it's not plugged in. It holds the food. He says, so over here, that's not also the shamash and makarka. Of course it's chayvin tefillas kelim. Okay, so even though in Mem Aleph, that's the famous tshuva that everybody knows about, in Tshuva Mem Aleph, he said, an immersion heater is considered electrical, and therefore it only works attached to the ground, it's not chayvin tefillas kelim. But if you turn the page, and you get the Tshuva Mem Gimel. In Tshuva Mem Gimel, he says, but that's not true for a pot. For a pot, that's not also the shamash makarka. He says, I don't know if it's word for it, but it's like very similar to what the Chacham Sadin says. Something that has a use when it's not attached to the ground is not considered also the shamash makarka. That thing is makabel tuma. Now, he brings at the end, with a larger tzirufa, maybe to be samach on those who think that it is, that it, such a thing is considered not makabel tuma. It's on the side of the page here also. They bring from a tshuva sefer that says like that. So he says, yeah, but here many things say like that, but by no means is that what the Chalkas Yaakov says. The Chalkas Yaakov Mem Aleph says Taka, an immersion heater, is considered Asur Shamer Shamer Karka. Become Tshuva Mem Gimel, when it talks about other kinds of things, it's not true. So the whole, when people say, I'm Soymach on the Chalkas Yaakov, say I don't have to type electrical devices, he himself only said that for very specific things. So maybe if you had a sandwich maker, maybe you could say a sandwich maker has no other use when it's not attached to the gun. It doesn't do anything. There's nothing to do with it except for to cook food, and it doesn't cook, and it's not plugged in, maybe. Okay, but why don't I have an urn, or have he talks a lot of people, for some reason, it must have been popular then, to have electric pots. Okay, they're talking about electric pots, or they're talking about a crock pot, or I don't know, something like that. Those things, they have a use when they're not plugged in. They're pots, they're functional. Okay, so for all those things, even those who wanted to say like Chalkas Yaakov, I mean, to do step two, to say that not something that's also Shamer Shamer Karka doesn't need tefillah, and therefore electrical devices are also qualified for that, but they're only willing to say that for something that's taka qualifies also Shamer Shamer Karka, which is very limited. Okay, it's only for very specific things. So we have to pick item by item and see whether it qualifies, but many of the things that people are thinking about, not tefillah, they're saying it's electric, I can't tefillah, it's not true. They're not Asur Shamer Shamer Karka. They don't qualify for this. Even the Chalkas Yaakov. Okay. So the best.
I have also had the most things that people
have no use. Have a functionality.
Have a functionality.
Okay. Well, what kind of things do you want to type?
Let's say there's pancake makers, waffle makers.
Okay. Those also right, that's like a sandwich maker. That's true.
Electric pasta. That's a common. There might be like urns and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. In general, a lot of.
Okay. So it's thing by thing. Well, the possibility. It's not the Chalkas Yaakov didn't say anything electrical doesn't need tefillah's kiyum. He didn't say that. He said it's anything electrical that qualifies as Asur Shamer Shamer Karka, which is only very, he says himself, it's very specific things. Only things that have no functionality even that.
There's an immersion blender or something like that.
So an immersion blender has no use, but a regular blender does. A regular blender holds food in it also. When you put your food into a blender, that's a container.
Yeah, part you could title.
Okay.
Right, it's a disconnected.
You mean the blade part? Okay. So maybe again, but it's piece by piece. It's not a blanket rule that it's automatically mutter if it's electrical. Okay. Now the second reason to think that you could use something without titling it is something that's much more widely accepted. I'm going to say it's accepted in principle. Okay. In practice, we're going to talk about this accepted in practice. Rosham Zalman says it, and Schwartz says it. Diane Weiss sort of says it, or Shapta said it, lots of people say it, at least in principle, the second thing, and that's the part that connects to our din, and that is like this. The Ramah says in our din, that if a Yid and a Goyah shoot them in a kli, then you don't need to type one. Okay, you could use that kli without type one. Where does that thing come from? So the Ramah comes from Issa V'Heter, okay? Issa V'Heter says like this. Well, I'll see what Issa V'Heter says. If there's a shutfis of a kli, ain't sarach tefillah. Why? This tefillah is not going to get it out of the tumah. That daim shem v'shutfis haknani olav. Okay, that's what Ismael says. Because it's since it's a shutfis, it's not going to get the tumah off it. Okay, now the people and the shach brings most of what it says here in this matter. Grub brings it. They're not really explaining what it means. Okay, so Rosham Zalman explains what the Issur V'Heter means, and others that I've mentioned their names before, and all say the same hesper. And they say like this: what they mean to say is like this. I told you that the Yerushalmi says that the reason why we title things is to take them out of the Tumas Akum into the Kedushas Yisrael. And if that's the reason why we title things, then what's going to happen here is that as soon as you finish titling it, it's back into the Tumas Akum and needs to be titled again. So what's going to happen is every time you do the tefillah, you're not going to be successful. So you'll have titled it. You did tefillas kelim, but the tefillas kelim that you did doesn't help you. It's going to be tefillas kelim again. Okay, now, in a second, I'm going to talk to you about it. So what? So let's say, I'm saying is that you can't be successful at doing tefillah's kiyum. I want you to pause for a second. I'm going to tell you in a second, we're going to continue the discussion. Okay, so what if I can't be successful? But that's what they said, so you can't be successful. Now, they're saying that. They're saying this based on Yerushalmi. Okay, the Yerushalmi, I told you, says, the Beis Yosef brings it to Yerushalmi, says, that you tie a kalim to get them into Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, and here's how the Beis Yosef brings Yerushalmi. Okay, it's at the very beginning of the siman. Beis Yosef brings Yerushalmi. Pirush of Yerushalmi, the tefila he kedei shegeitzu mitum asa shogoy nekedushas Yisrael. The reason why you tie things is to get them from the tomb of a goy to Kedusha of Yisrael. That's what you're doing. And therefore, in this case, you're going to tivel it, and it's not going to work, because you're going to tivel it, and as soon as you tivel it, it's going to be back in the tomb of a goy again. Okay? That's what the Beis Yosef brings Yerushalmi. Okay? But that's not exactly what Yerushalmi says. Okay? Yerushalmi is at the very end of the Masechta, and it's the last lines of the Masechta, and this is what Yerushalmi actually says. Shalom Rabbi Yirmiyah. They asked, I'm going to, before I tell you, they asked, I know that, on purpose. They asked Rabbi Yirmiyah whether a certain, I'm just going to introduce you before you read it. They asked Rabbi Yirmiyah whether a certain kli needed tefillah, okay? It's not important what it was. Whether a certain kli needed tefillah, okay? And Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to answer why he thinks it needs tefillah, okay? So they asked Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar, tzarech lahatvil, whatever that kli was, it needs tefillah. Why? Lefi sheyatu mitumas hanachri, v'nichnas l'kedushas Yisrael. Okay? So Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't say, kidei, that it should go mitumas shall go l'kedushas Yisrael. He says lefi sheyatzu mitumas hanachri. Okay, which it means to say is Yerushalmi. What Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying is that since the kli began the process of going from the tumas ha'akad to l'kedushas Yisrael, you have to finish that off by doing tefillas kelim. And so what the Beis Yosef is not quoting Yerushalmi. He's explaining Yerushalmi. Okay, he's saying is. When he says kadesh sheyetsu mitumas shel goy, when the Beis Yosef says that, he doesn't mean is that this is the thing that gets it from the tumah to the kedusha. He means that once that process started already, you already lefi sheyetsu. Once it already left, you have to. The Torah tells you to finish it off by doing tefillas kelim. He doesn't mean is that this is what does it. This is what finishes the job. Now, my point here is like this: if you read this, then. If you read this, then all of a sudden, what the Ramah and the Shach said are something very different. Okay, what the Ramah and Shach, the Rosh Hashanah is saying that what they meant is, when you do have to do the tefillah, you're chayav to do tefillah, but the tefillah won't be successful because you're chayav to do tefillah to get it out of the Tumas Akum. Okay, but that, oh no, Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't say that. Rabbi Yirmiyah said is, once it got out of the tumah, now you have to do tefillah. Well, guess what? In our case, where there's still a shurfis, it didn't do step one. It didn't yatsu mitumas hanachri v'nechasu kedushas Yisrael. It didn't do that. If it didn't do the first step, then you don't have to do the second step. Okay? Rosh Hashanah is saying that what the Ramah means is, you can't do the second step, because it won't be successful. You're chayav to, but it won't work. Because Rosh Hashanah doesn't say that. Rosh Hashanah says you're not chayav to do it in the first place. You don't have to do it, because the first lefi sheyatzu, it has to first go out, and then you're chayv and tefillas kelim. So in our case, you're not chayv, because it didn't do the first step. Which is not how Rosh Hashanah is understanding it. Rosh Hashanah is understanding it by the simple reading of the Beis Yosef. Again, the Beis Yosef is really, the way I hear it, is explain Yerushalmi. He's saying, none of the Beis Yosef is saying Yerushalmi.
Right, that's yours.
No, no, wait a second.
Yeah.
So now, in our case, we say, so what the Shach means is, in our case, it didn't leave the tomb of Sa'akim yet, because the guy still shut there.
That's it, fucking, no one knew, you didn't know the Yerushalmi. Okay, it says, Kadesh Yeitzu, it's also not being Yeitzu. Otherwise, it belongs to the guy, I don't know what he needs to know the Yerushalmi. Much better, right? Kadesh Yeitzu, the Maestro, the guy still holds it, it's not being Yeitzu, it's not finished.
No, so, you're, that's how Shlom Zalman looks, you're away, but no, but he said, I'm getting to my point. You'll see in a second. Rosh Hashanah is saying is, the person, it's chayav tefillas kelim. When Yid owns it, it's chayav tefillas kelim. But it will not be successful, and therefore, you don't have to do, you don't, in practice, you could use it without doing tefillas kelim. Okay. But it's chayav tefillas kelim. I'm saying, no, the Rosh Hashanah says it's not chayav in the first place. It's only chayav after it went out of the, after it left the Rosh Hashanah, then it's chayav tefillas kelim. Lefish yatsu, now you have to do tefillas kelim. So you're not chayav in tefillas kelim. Now, because the base maybe asks, back to the Ramah. The Beis Meir asks on the Ramah, and he argues on the Ramah. He says, what are you talking about? He says, so tefillah won't be successful? He says, so? Then don't use the kli. He says, who are you to use the kli? You're chayav in tefillas kelim. If you're chayav in tefillas kelim, and you can't do it, because as soon as you do it,
Good.
No, it's not a mitzvah, the chiyuv tefillah.
Right. You're not gonna, you can't use it until you do tefillah. You can't do tefillah because when you do tefillah, it's going to be back, and it's going to still be in the shushkar, you're going to keep getting high, get this tumma again, so don't use it. So Beis Meir says, so who said you're allowed to use it in the first place? Okay, so my point is, I'll get to an answer to Beis Meir in a second, but the question of Beis Meir, and the whole thing you're going to hear in a second from Shlomo Zalman, is assuming that it's chayv and tefillas kelim, and now I'm saying, but I can't do it, because every time I tefillah, I'm going to chayv it again. But that's not really what the Rishonim says. The Rishonim says I wasn't chayv in the first place. It's just, I'm just not chayv in the first place. Okay, so now.
Is this your dig in the
Yerushalmi? No, I opened up Yerushalmi to look at it. No, I said, let's see the Yerushalmi. I looked at the Yerushalmi. I'm telling you that's what it says. You can read it. Tell me what you think the Yerushalmi means.
Okay, so this is your dig in Yerushalmi?
Yes.
It's very good.
I'm just saying it. So I just said that the Beis Yosef is explaining Yerushalmi. The Beis Yosef is not with Yerushalmi. He said, Kadesh Yetzu means to complete the going out of the Tumah Shalakim. The Yerushalmi says, after it went out, then you do tefillah, and Beis Yosef has explained that, giving it a little hesper to it. But, I mean, again, maybe it goes right, maybe it's different gears. So, what that's the Yerushalmi, and that's what the Beis Yosef says. Not exact, it's pretty close. Okay, so now, Rosh Hashanah Zalman says the answer, and all these other people I mentioned, the answer to Beis Meir's question, Beis Meir argues in the Ramah, okay? The answer to Beis Meir's question is, the answer to Beis Meir's question is like this, is that the mitzvah of tefillah kelim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But as we spoke about last time, as I introduced you last time, was even though the mitzvah of tefillah kelim is d'oraisa, the issur to use the kli until you do tefillah kelim is only issur d'rabbanan. It's only usur d'rabbanan to use the kli until you do the tefillah. And therefore, when it's possible to do tefillah kelim, when you're able to do the mitzvah, Chacham said, don't use it until you do the mitzvah. It's a shmira. It's an encouragement to make sure you do the mitzvah. You can't use it until you do it. But if it's not possible, if it's not, you can't physically do it, so what do you want from my life? So Chazal didn't impose on me to not use it until I do tefillah kelim, because it's not possible, so they didn't bother me and make, you know, punish me to not use it if I can't do it anyhow. And therefore, so Beis Meir's question was, Beis Meir said, how can you use it? If you can't do tefillah, so it's too bad on you, you can't use it. And they said, no, this is, that's only drabbanan. Since it's only drabbanan that you can't use it, in this case where I can't do it, Chum didn't make that imposition on me. They didn't trouble me and say, don't use it now, because I can't tell you what anyhow. What am I supposed to do with it? I can't tell you what. So finally, the Chazal didn't bother me in that case. Okay, now, so they're saying that the answer of the Rambam by the Shutfis, and you could learn whichever way you like to in Shutfis. But the extension, the next step of that din is, and next time, we're going to talk about even a further step, okay? That'll really a whole way another step. But the extension is, so if I have an electrical device, and I can't tovel it, because if I tovel it, it's going to break, and I'm not going to be able to use it anyhow. So what they say is, well, we see from this din, that if a person has something that's higher than tefillas kelim, but tefillas kelim was not physically possible, then the issur d'rabbanan to not use it doesn't apply. So therefore, when we say that a person, if an electrical thing can't be toveled, it's chayv in tefillas kelim, not like the chavak sakka. Really, the chavak sakka, maybe in some cases it would be potter tefillas kelim. No, it's really chayv in tefillas kelim. It's really chayv in tefillas kelim. But what's it? But since it's physically not possible, Chazal didn't stop you from using it. Okay, now, I forgot to tell you, the Ramah, he didn't say you're allowed to use it. He said, ain't charach tefillah. Okay, that's a deal like me. Ramah says, if the shift is ain't charach tefillah, he didn't say you're allowed to use it without tefillah. But so he says over here, the electrical device is also, since the person, there's no way to use it without, there's no way to do the tefillah, therefore, the person's, not that it's puffed from tefillah, but you're allowed to use it even though it didn't have tefillah. Okay?
No, sorry, that's right.
What?
No dimming at all.
No dimming to that case?
The Maestro 3, this is a Maestro 3. Over here, this is Maestro 3. Okay. And Maestro 3 times in break.
So wait.
The Chazal pocketed you.
Next day.
So the point.
The right.
So David.
It doesn't make sense the Chazal would not require you to be told.
Sometimes, when there's an Issa Drabbanan, it says, the Issa Drabbanan applies even if you can't get pissed. Say to you, over here, you say, you could imagine Chazal saying, if you can't use it until you tovel it, and if you can't tovel it, stand on your head. That's what this man says, okay? And sometimes the Rabbanan says, don't use it until you tovel it.
You can't do it because it's not the mitzvah of tefillah.
Okay, I know here, it's also not shy, because if I tovel it, but I won't have a kli. I'm not going to have anything afterwards.
Yeah, but you can use it, right?
So like this. So now, let's just think. Let's just think. Okay, so I didn't say everybody creases. Of course not. So like this. So, the first thing is, there are some people, I told you, some people who tovel things, let it dry out for a long time, and then it works just fine.
Okay, so now, if that would be true, then you don't have an excuse. Your whole point here is you're saying, what's going to happen is I'm going to tovel it, and it's not going to work, I'm not going to have a fee anyhow. Well, if it's true that you could tovel it and let it sit for however long it's going to take, then you don't have any excuses over here, okay? Even more so, if the whole problem is that you worried only about the corrosion, meaning it'll work, but it will break quicker. It's going to work if you tovel it. You're going to let it dry out and it's going to work. But your concern is not the short-circuiting, but your concern is it's long-term you're going to have problems with what I call these whole group of things that are called corrosion. That doesn't help you anything, okay? Because then you could use a kli, you just won't use it as many times, okay? Also, So there are those who are not so comfortable with it, who will say, listen, you're telling me, David is saying, in the din, he doesn't see the connection. Wait till next time. Maybe you shouldn't come next time. Okay, next time is like an even bigger extension of this thing. Okay, but the thing is, first of all, some people don't agree with the extension to this din like this. And some people say, but wait a second, but I can't tell you, it's not going to break altogether. Okay? Okay, now.
And you're saying the whole thing doesn't start.
I'm saying is, if you read Yerushalmi never said, what the Ramah never said is that it's chayim in tefillah, but you're allowed to use it without tefillah. He said is, this thing wasn't chayim. It never got to Lafisha Yotsumi to Moser
Shalakim. But you can say it either way.
Well, the Ramah's quoting Yerushalmi. He's basically, this thing comes from Isvahetra. The Isvahetra is coming from based on this.
You're going against what everybody's saying. Nobody supports you.
Right. Yeah. No one's supposed to, except that the Ramah says Patrul Tzil. Right? But no one says my way. No one reads it my way. I'm just saying is, if you look at the Shach didn't say that it's Chayim Tfilas Kalim, but you're allowed to use it anyhow. That's not the Shach. The Shach just says, go look at this Vedder. And that's what he says, that this is what it is. He brings these words.
I'm totally not bothered by that. The Chazal patted you already. The Chazal, it's not like the Torah, you don't need to, we have forces that are in motion that he said. The Chazal know what's going to be in the end, and they tell you. They punter you know what I'm saying? You're punter from doing it. It's not, you can't do it, but you can't.
No, well, it's a chiv to raise it to do teal scale. Without the chazal to pati from teal scale. Teal scale is chiv to raise it to do it. So chazal can't pati from teal scale. So if the Yerushalmi says you're not chayim because it's not out of tumzakim, that's fine. If chazal says we won't ask you from using it, that they can do, but they can't say it's not chayim in teal scale. So the only way to say they're not chayim, so that's what everyone's reading into. I'm saying is, no, the Yerushalmi just said it's not chayim in teal scale in the first place. It didn't get to step one to now need teal scale, which is step two.
So what is worse?
According to me, right, this whole deed is based on a understanding the way the big states are being
structured. Right, I'm saying that for you,
the whole Tzad L'Hakal falls away.
Right,
that whole Tzad L'Hakal falls away. But again, all these other people say, no, like they said, I'm reading all this into that. But all these other people are saying, no, that's not what it means. Okay, now, you should just know.
In general, the Rishama says the fates
for that today. Well, you read the word, you tell me what it says.
I don't know the Rishama much.
Okay, so neither do I. Okay, so I have to just tell you. In spite of
why can you really show me the things of the fish yates? We didn't yet come to fish yates, we didn't show the fish yates. In order to
show the fish yates.
So maybe we don't have the grammar so great. Lafish yates, in order that they should go out. And that's what the basis of it is translating. So the basis of it is translating to us into modern Hebrew. You know, he's a Kadesh yates, so we should understand what Yerushalmi really meant. Okay?
I think you're right.
Okay, maybe you can say that. Maybe so the I have to just tell you, I can't not tell you that Rav Schwartz.
What is Yerushalmi?
It's at the very end of Avodah Zarah. It's like the last words, almost the last words of Avodah Zarah. Okay, if you just to the back page, you'll see it. Okay, so the Rav Schwartz says he's a big believer in this, and he says that he's a big believer in this that if a electrical devices are going to break, or potentially are going to break when you tevel them, and therefore you're not chayv to tevel any of them. Okay, none of them are chayv in tevel because of this whole cheshbon that I just told you that they're chayv in tevel, but you can't do the mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to use them even though you didn't tevel them. Okay, so we said to him, but people are tevel them and they stick them into the mitzvah and they're perfectly fine. You know, wait a little while till they do it. He says, no, there's too many questions. Maybe they will work or they won't work, and regular people can't figure out. Some of them do and don't. So the whole thing is including this group. And that's actually official policy. So when people call up, we tell them, or Schwartz tells them, that's it, the electrical devices don't need to be titled. But other people either don't agree with this bachal, and they say all electrical things need to be titled, or they split it, and they'll say is there are things that we know can dry out, and when they dry out, then they'll work perfectly fine, as long as you never plugged it in once before, and they'll work perfectly fine, and they'll say, they'll title them, and they won't, and say other things are too they won't dry out. You can't type on that. So there are people who say in between, and the people say everything needs to be typed. Okay, and as I mentioned, next time we're going to see a whole another jump past this of how people took the semen photo.